Welcome to the Community Fellowship Podcast, your way to stay connected with biblically themed messages, discussions, and interviews from Community Fellowship in East Barnard, Texas. Learn more about our church at the cfeb.church website, check us out on social media at CF East Barnard, or attend an in-person service at 635 Main Street in East Barnard. We are a local church that works to make the love of Christ for all humanity known to our community and the world. Thanks for tuning in and enjoy this week's content.
Oh, they were so good, right? Listen, I need to say sorry to Trenton, okay? Because his Messiah mess up was my fault. When he was practicing earlier, I taught him the Hebrew way to say it, and I think that's what kind of got him a little confused, all right? So I'm sorry about that, Trenton. Listen, last week we began the season of Advent, and you might remember that we talked a little bit about how Advent is not necessarily about looking back at Jesus' first coming, but it's us looking forward to his second coming. That's what the season of Advent is. That's why this hope and expectation of waiting for Jesus to return. And so that's what this season is really all about, okay? I know we love looking at the humble beginnings of Jesus, but really we're waiting for him to come as the conquering king, that we know that he is and that we know he's coming back to be. And so we as Christians right now, we're living underneath his rule. It's the what we talked about last week, the already and the not yet. We're already underneath his inaugurated kingdom, living underneath his rule, obeying the Holy Spirit, but we're also longing and waiting for Jesus to return when he makes all things right. And truthfully, the scripture tells us that we don't really belong in this world, that we're foreigners, that we're sojourners, if you will. We're kind of just traveling along, but we are made for a different world, the world that's all at peace and all right. And that's what we're longing for whenever Jesus is going to come back and make all of that right. But let me ask this question. How can you tell when someone is a foreigner? How can you tell when somebody, if it's somebody from East Barnard, you're like, that person is not from East Barnard. How can you tell? There's usually some things that you can tell. What? Anybody? The way they dress or the way they talk? Okay, those are good points, right? They do have one or they don't have one? Okay. You're like, yeah, they're not from here. So there's distinguishing things, right? There's distinguishing things, or even if we were to say something cultural, right? If somebody from a different culture, they may have different things they celebrate, or they may have an accent that makes them talk a little bit different. These things are distinguishing. For us as Christians, it's the same way. Because we're foreigners in this world, so parts of who we are, the way that we talk, maybe even the way that we dress, right? All of these things look different to a world that is not our home, right? We're going to look different. That's exactly the way that it's supposed to be for us. And this morning, we're going to see that these things that we talk about at Advent, when we talk about hope, peace, joy, love, these are distinguishing characteristics of those who are part of the kingdom of God, those who call themselves Jesus' people. And today, we're going to look at another one of those. We're going to look at how we're supposed to respond to the idea that God has made peace with mankind. So I want to ask you to grab your Bibles. If you don't have one, there are some the chairs in front of you. You're more than welcome to grab. But we're going to be in Luke chapter 2, which you heard a lot of during our kids' play this morning. So Luke chapter 2, and we're going to start in verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Listen, I forgot to say this a minute ago. If you're a kiddo in here, which they should be in here with us, you're more than welcome. There's a little sheet back there for you guys, just like we did last time. You're more than welcome to go grab that. I saw a couple of the guys do it. Thanks for reminding me, guys. You're more than welcome to go grab that as we kind of go into our message this morning. So here's the thing. With the entire nativity story, which we kind of saw demonstrated up here a minute ago, the entire nativity story, the only group of people to receive a whole angelic chorus to announce the news of the Savior's birth is the shepherds here in Luke chapter 2. The shepherds here in Luke chapter 2. And at first glance, we kind of rush over this fact. We kind of skip over it, and it's just part of the story that we know. But why in the world did God choose these herdsmen to receive the news this way? Why did these shepherds get to hear the news, the most important news that could ever come? Why did they get the angelic chorus? So, all throughout Jewish history, there's important people of the faith like Abraham and Moses and David. They were shepherds. At some point in their life, they were shepherds as well. That was their occupation. But during first century Judaism, the shepherd was an outcast. It was not an occupation that people wanted. It wasn't something that people aspired to be. In fact, I was thinking about this. I could just imagine, a kid that's at Bet Sefer, that's the elementary school for Jewish kids. I could just imagine them sitting there in the class, and the question is asked, "Hey, what do you want to be when you grow up?" Here's what didn't happen. Me. I want to be a shepherd. No, that didn't happen. Anything but that, right? Or I can just imagine poor little Eli. His dad is a shepherd. And it's occupation day. "Sorry, my dad can't come. I'll just take the 0. That's how much people disdain they had for the shepherds. Nobody liked shepherds. It was not an honorable position. Much of it had to do because the shepherds had a difficult time in being able to keep the cleanliness laws of Torah. So they weren't necessarily ones invited to the parties because they had a difficult time being able to keep that as shepherds, as people dealing with animals and sheep all the time. And so very often they weren't able to wash their hands like they were ceremonially supposed to do under tradition. They weren't able to do that. They also weren't able to come to a lot of the festivals and the feasts because they had a job to tend the sheep. So they weren't able to come and to do that. But these shepherds here in Bethlehem are unique. They're very special, okay? Because even though they're on the outside of Jewish society, they're on the fringe, they have a very unique position because most scholars believe that these Bethlehem shepherds were the ones who actually tended the flock for the sheep that would be sacrificed in the temple of Jerusalem, just a few miles away. That's their position. Okay? And with that, though, I am sure that these shepherds had enough of stale religiosity because they dealt with the priests, they dealt with the keepers of the temple, they understood that. And if you remember Jesus' parable about the Good Samaritan, you remember that the priest didn't even have time to stop for a poor person that was on the side of the road that was hurt. So I can just imagine the conversations that these shepherds had with these priests. They, first of all, were the outside of society, not cared about, and these priests are having these conversations, and I'm sure they were not the most delightful conversations for these shepherds. So they could care less, probably, if I'm honest, about any kind of thing that had to do with religious tradition because they were put on the outside. And it's these shepherds that God chooses to announce this incredible message of God's peace with. It's these shepherds. Now, I was with my brother and sister yesterday. We were at a memorial for my uncle who passed away a couple of weeks ago. Incredible memorial, but whenever we get together, it's just always hilarious, right? We love each other. We dote on each other like crazy. But I'm going to be honest, that was not always the case. When we were younger, when we would go on the trips to Louisiana, which was about 6 hours away from our Dallas home, those were not fun trips, right? You have children, you understand, you know, right? And this is, hey, the kiddos, listen, this is before devices. We didn't have phones, we didn't have tablets, right? We barely, I think we got like one of those video things where you could do a DVD, like right at the very end. I was already like in high school whenever we finally got one of those, right? And my sister was telling me yesterday, she was remembering that we would take out the middle seat of the van, and totally illegal, but we would take the middle seat out and we would lay on there for that 6 hours, right? But then it became games. You were always trying to figure out games that you would play with each other. And inevitably, it would be one of those things where finally the game was, all right, don't cross the line. There's a line right here, invisible line, don't cross it. I'm tired of you kind of thing. And then you know how it was, right? One, usually my brother. Right? Dad! Right? And then here was my dad's response. He's driving, right? I just want a little peace and quiet while I drive. Please. See, we have this weird idea of what peace is in our culture, because we think as Westerners that peace is the absence of conflict. It's the absence of war. People aren't fighting anymore. But that's not the biblical understanding of peace. Both within the Old Testament, when we talk about shalom, the word that's used, and in the New Testament, eirene, these ideas of peace are a little different than for us in our Western context. Under the Old Covenant, the shalom, it was about restoring the covenantal blessings that God had given to his people, the Israelites. In the New Testament, the word actually originates from tying something together. So it was about the idea of coming together, this idea of unity and oneness, right? Now, and this can be in many facets of life, but the idea that if a person has lost something or has broken a relationship, the word would be peace. They need peace with that individual. This relationship has been broken, so they need to be restored. They need to be made whole again. Now, this might be as simple as giving something back that was taken, right? It's kind of where we get the idea of eye for an eye in the law. This idea that you're going to restore to me what has been taken from me. Okay, it's not about me getting more than what I deserve, but it's about this idea of justice and complete and wholeness, right? Or it could be as severe as life for life. But it's about this idea of justice and wholeness and completeness is what we see that peace really is. And the Apostle Paul, he goes a little bit further in the New Testament. And he tells us that this first advent, when Jesus comes as a man, that the relationship that we had with him had been broken. The relationship that we had with God had been broken. Therefore, we needed peace. We needed there to be restoration. And the Apostle Paul says it this way in Romans 5. I love it. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So this is the message that the shepherds are given by the angelic chorus that night. This is the message that God is wanting to restore the broken relationship with mankind. Think about this. The lowest of society, the overlooked, the outcast, given this incredible news, given the privilege of seeing how God is bringing peace to mankind. And he chooses them, the creator of the world, he starts and chooses with these shepherds. Why? Why would he do that? Why would he choose to start with these shepherds to be the first human heralds of God's incredible gospel news? I think part of it has to do with the way they respond. So I want to look at that together with you. So these angels, they fill up the sky praising God with the announcement of Jesus' birth, right? Think about that the next time you're at a baby shower. Hey, where are the angels? Right? I'm just joking. It's only for Jesus that he's the only one that gets that, okay? He's the only one who gets that. But look at the shepherd's reaction. How do they respond to the angels? So look back at verse 15 with me, okay? The shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened." See, they have to see Jesus. They have to see it for themselves. They've heard the news. Listen, God didn't command them to go. There was no command for them to you go to Bethlehem and see this baby. That didn't happen, right? The angel didn't say that. They said you could find him. You would find him. But there was no command that they had to go. But they wanted to see Jesus. They desired to see him. They themselves said, we have to go. We want to go. Some of us in here, we've forgotten because we've gotten so used to our routines of longing to see Jesus. We get so used to our routines. Go to bed, get up, go to church. Go to bed, get up, go to work. Do you long to see him? Do you long to know him? Do you long, like David says in the Psalms, you, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you. See, here's what the shepherds understood. They were nobodies with nothing who had been given an incredible gift, the gift of knowing that God was bringing peace with mankind. And because they knew this, they longed to see Jesus for themselves. So those who've experienced Christ's peace, they long to see Christ for themselves. So after seeing Jesus wrapped in these swaddling clothes and verifying the truth of what the angels had actually said that night, the shepherds just can't contain it. They can't contain it. They had to share it. That's their next response. And I can just picture this scene, right? When they're leaving this small little stable where Joseph and Mary were that night, and they're just looking at each other with this kind of like, what in the world did we just experience? This is so incredible. We've seen the Savior of the world. It's kind of like kids underneath, they see that when they see the gifts underneath the Christmas tree, right? And that Christmas morning, and they're like, can we open them? You know, that's exactly the response here of the shepherds. Can we go tell people? They're so excited that they start running to anyone who will listen, anyone who will hear them, anybody who will give them the time of day, they start sharing this news with. And I can just imagine it, a lady kind of taking the laundry down. Hey, let me tell you about what just happened. A man outside sweeping the front of his home. Hey, I got to tell you what I just experienced. Some little kid that's hitting a rock with a stick. Little boy, let me just tell you, you got to understand this is what just happened. This is what just happened. Because those who've experienced Christ's peace for themselves, they desire to share Christ with others. They desire to share Christ with others. When's the last time that you shared the good news that God brings peace with mankind? That our broken relationship has been restored because of what Jesus has done, that he's come for us. When's the last time that you were so filled with excitement at that you had to go share that good news? There are some of you in here, you're probably thinking about a person. You have a person in your mind right now. Man, would you just stop and to pray for them right now? That God would give you the opportunity to share that incredible news. Because there's nothing better than that. All right, and then finally the shepherds, they go back to their sheep. It's kind of business as usual. Back to the old grind. But there's one last response. One last thing that they do. Verse 20, look at it. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen. They worshiped. They worship. Church, that's why we gather together. We gather together to remind ourselves and to sing praises to a God who loves us and became one of us and died for us. This is what he's done. And this is always the right response. Praise and worship is always the right response for the fact that God has made peace with mankind. And the truth is, our response should even be more humble than that. It should be this idea of us just bowing down because we recognize who he is. So those who've experienced Christ's peace have gratitude to sing praise to Christ. I think no one said it better than the early church reformer John Calvin. Listen to what he says, and try to stay with it because it's a little complicated. Their zeal in glorifying and praising God, that's the shepherds, is an implied reproof of our, that's us, indolence, or rather of our ingratitude. If the cradle of Christ had such an effect upon them as to make them rise from the stable and the manger to heaven, in other words, they responded in praise and worship by just simply seeing the Savior in the stable. Here's what he says. How much more powerful ought the death and resurrection of Christ to be in raising us to God? How much more should we as the church who've been bought by Jesus' blood and know that truth respond with worship when we rise up and we just cry out to the God who is so good to us? Here's the thing. We can't let the shepherds outdo us. We can't. We can't let them outdo us. Their gratitude cannot be more than our gratitude. It can't be, because we're just like them. We were outcasts, rejected because of our sin. But God, in his great mercy, sent his son to die on a cross, taking our punishment and our shame so that we can have peace with God. Some of you in this room, you've never experienced that peace before. When I say that, you don't understand what I'm talking about. I want to invite you this morning not to leave this room without knowing, without having seen Jesus for yourself. Some of you, like I said earlier, you know this incredible news, and there's somebody God is putting on your heart to share that news with. Please share that good news. They need to hear it. They need the peace that you have. And the last part, every single one of us in here, every single one of us who knows the grace of God that we have found through Jesus Christ, every one of us should be filled with such an incredible gratitude for worship that this building vibrates because of the song coming from our hearts. I'm going to invite Andrew to come back up. And church, this is what I hope. I'm not going to close in prayer today. What I hope is that as we sing this last song together, that we would shake this building, because our gratitude has to outdo that of the shepherds, because we are the ones who have been saved by Jesus' death, and we have been given new life through his resurrection. Let's sing.
If you have questions about this week's message or would like to start a conversation with someone about what it means to walk with Christ, please email pastor@cfeb.church. You can find earlier episodes of our podcast on our website at cfeb.church, where you can also give online to help support community fellowship in our mission to reflect and share Christ's love. We can also be found on many major distribution platforms like Apple Podcasts, where you can subscribe to stay connected. Thank you again for listening. Now go out and love one another like Jesus did.